like to call to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. Can we all rise and follow Andy in our Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to take in the record show. All members are present.
Great. This is the time for public comment. If there's anybody that would like to speak, is there anybody on the phone? If there's anybody either in person or on the phone or online that would like to speak to an item that is not listed on our agenda, this would be the time for you to get up and speak. And is there anybody on the phone? No, okay. Anybody in the room? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. President, Directors. Considering the weather here is not much different from Phoenix, I was interested in an article I saw online, and if you want, I can try and dig up the URL and send it to staff for distribution to the board about how Phoenix is working on a couple of programs to try and actually reduce the temperature in the city and go the opposite direction of global warming. And the two things, and some of this is you have some jurisdiction over this, I'm not sure overall how much. One of them is they intend to plant a lot more trees. Palm trees are useless decoration. We need real trees here. And the other thing they're doing, which is very interesting, is they're putting on all blacktop streets. They're coating them with this thing called gray coat that's highly reflective. Instead of absorbing the energy from the sun, it reflects it back up. And the streets, when you feel them, they're 10 degrees cooler than blacktop. So I think, and I'll be approaching the other jurisdictions that have authority over any pavement. I don't know if this district maintains any streets, but like you have this big parking lot right here. So that's a small thing to start with and test it out and see if it works. And I used to live in a small city surrounded by the city of LA, and that city had a lot of big old trees. And it was 10 degrees cooler in the summer in that little city than when you cross the border into L.A. So I think all of these things are worth considering. So I know some people like it hot, but I don't know how many people like it this hot.
Thank you for your time. Okay, any other public comment? Hearing none, I will close public comment and move on to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Great. Is any discussion, any public comment on the consent calendar? Hearing none. All those in favor? Oh, are we still doing roll call votes?
No.
Roll call?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you can do roll call. This meeting is set up to sit in person. So it's up to you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect it was unanimous, please. Area agency reports. I will. Is Stephen here? Yeah, there he is. Oh, and Diane's here. Hi. I'm sorry. I can't see that far away.
I'm sharp, but I'm not.
No, Diane. I apologize. I didn't have my glasses. I have to take them off. It's all a blur.
Really nice to see you all.
It's great to have you here.
Yes.
We were at the ribbon cutting for the Taste This Kitchen this afternoon, and there was an exceptional turnout to that as well, so it was really nice to be out. Yesterday, we were out with the sheriffs doing National Night Out. I would say that we need to, we look forward to those groups getting bigger, but there was some really nice groups of people out, and it was nice. I also want to thank the folks that turned out to the July Environmental Health lot of confusion and not a lot of clarity on things that are required for having certain types of events. And so we wanted to create an opportunity for people to ask questions and speak directly to the people that help make those things safe for the community. I don't know if you're aware, but a few years back, we actually had an event in Antioch for Thanksgiving at a church, and people prepared food, and a couple people died. And so we take it very seriously to make sure that our community events meet the goal of being celebratory and supportive of our communities and not harmful. So it was really nice for people to provide their time to get informed so that they can help spread the word.
If I could comment real quick, I attended that event, and it was, as a member of the Lions Club, and we do a lot of events that require food trucks, what have you, it was a great event. It's always nice to pick up some tidbit that you haven't heard before. And I think it was well attended as well. So,
yeah, and I believe it was recorded, and that was my direction, and I hope it was recorded. And if it wasn't, we'll do it again. But I wanted it to be online for people to be able to see if they weren't able to attend. So thank you. I'm glad you attended, and thank you for the feedback. The big news here in East Contra Costa is the annexation of East Contra Costa Fire and Contra Costa Fire. We've been able to already open up a fourth station. The fifth station is underway as far as getting ready to open probably early next year. And the sixth station, we are looking for an architect to get started. So in probably 3 years, hopefully, we'll have doubled the fire stations, but we also have paramedics on our rigs. We have lots of other things that we're working on, and it's the benefit of being a part of Contra Costa Fire. We're all one big family now, and when we're talking about mutual aid and all of that, having it all annexed makes a big difference. So that's the exciting news on that. We also have new code enforcement officers coming on board in the next couple months. We've passed an ordinance that increases fines and penalty amounts for violations of short-term rentals, which you guys hear about. We also have an urgency ordinance about unpermitted events, and we are working to increase those fines, and I'm working with the fire chief to strengthen that. I was just talking to Lieutenant Johnson about that yesterday. We got to just help keep creating reasons why people understand they need to be safe and then why they don't want to cross those rules. We also, I want you to know that there is efforts again to create the tunnels. This time it's called the conveyance system, and the governor and the state agencies have released an EIR on the conveyance system, and I highly recommend that you look at it and maybe as a body want to do some comments. I need to keep myself as impartial on the commenting at this time because beginning of next year I'll be the chair of the Delta Protection Commission, and I will be serving on the Stewardship Council, which will be the body that will be making those determinations.
That's
and I
good
will
news.
Need your help. I will need everyone's help that's watching online to make sure that we are representing the Delta. We are also working on harmful blue-green algae blooms, and I am working with our federal lobbyists to work on a grant application with the Army Corps of Engineers. I want consistent funding that we can address this issue. It's not going to go away, most likely. This is an issue that's related to climate change. It's related to water quality. It's the low flows. And so we are probably going to be having this as an issue that we need to address, not each year and kind of react, but actually address it. And while we're talking about it, I want people to understand that we don't know where it is. So you really need to think about where you're entering the water, where your dogs and children are entering the water, and to be aware that not everywhere has been tested. So just be cautious and just be aware of it. And finally, I'm in the process of appointing some more people to different commissions. If you're interested in getting involved, please go to my website and get on my mail list. We are currently interviewing people for the Mental Health Commission, the Fish and Wildlife Committee, the Byron, Brentwood, Knights, and Union Cemetery District, the Assessment Appeals Board, and the Aviation Advisory Committee, which I chair the Airport Commission. So I look forward to people getting involved. If you have questions from my office, please call my office today. I have Stephen Griswold, who is one of the newest members to my staff, but he has a very deep history here in East County. He's a proud veteran, and he's going to do very good work, so I encourage you to reach out to him if you have any questions, concerns, ideas, and it's nice to see all of you.
Thank you, Diane, very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You giving out your cell phone number, Steve?
Or phone.
I noticed it. I saw all your signature blogs. Thank you very much, Diane. Great to have you here. Lieutenant Johnson.
Yes. All right, good evening. Mark Johnson, Lieutenant Sheriff's Office. All right, so for the month of July, our station house, we had 29 arrests. For Discovery Bay, we had 511 calls for service, and we took 35 reports. I mentioned this briefly last month. We did end up citing 10 people for possession of fireworks. I know it may not seem like it, but I think East Slope, we're slowly getting those fireworks down. I don't think we're going to be able to eliminate them completely, but I think each year it's getting a little bit easier, so we'll see. I forgot to mention this last month as well. Our resident deputy, Cody Castelluccio, is no longer out here. He's now assigned to our recruiting unit. So I am in the process of trying to find a replacement for Cody. Fortunately, there's a lot of deputies who weren't interested in the spot, which is fantastic. So I have a lot to choose from. So I'll get somebody who's just like Cody was, hopefully. We have a new community service officer out here, Dan Jordan. He's actually the field training officer for all of our CSOs. He does a fantastic job. I think he wrote a ton of citations. I think he wrote code 7 cars. So he's actually doing a very good job.
Tell him to quit marking my car, will you? I knew it was somebody. The minute I saw a green mark on my tire, I knew we had somebody new.
All right, so for the month of July, some of the calls that we had, I know sometimes it seems like a lot. We just got to for the whole month. And a lot of this stuff is proactive police work, so they're actually going out there looking for the bad guys. So we investigated two deaths. One was natural, one was an unknown cause. We had two residential burglaries. One on Discovery Bay Boulevard and one on Pagoda Drive. On both of those, the homeowners were on vacation. Entry was made to the back at forced entry. We had one traffic stop where we had a DUI turnover and we get it over to CHP. We got a call of a suspicious vehicle off of Pagoda Drive. We located the person inside the car. A search of the car revealed an illegal handgun, so that person was taken in custody. I think I mentioned this last month as well. Our ALPR cameras picked up a carjacking car that was coming through town. We actually ended up catching that car. It was out of Stockton. So Stockton PD came out and ended up taking those people into custody and brought them back to their station. We had one report of brandishing a firearm. The suspect is known. A report was written and filed with the district attorney's office for possible charges. We had one catalytic converter theft. Our resident deputy, Glenn Bryant, one of the things I have him do was patrol a lot at the Sandy Cove Shopping Center because of all the shoplifting. While he was out there, he noticed two subjects running out of the store with a ton of property. They jumped in a car and took off. He tried to stop the car. The car took off. The pursuit went down Highway 4 to Marsh Creek to Vasco. The car ended up losing control,
and he was able to quickly catch the passenger. The driver took off on foot, they set up the perimeter, and Britt Graffiti actually caught the driving force. So both those were taken into custody. The total amount of the property they had stolen was over $1,000 between the two of them as they ran out. So, yeah. We had one felony domestic battery arrest. We took one report of a misdemeanor battery. We had one traffic stop on Bixler Highway 4, where the driver was a felon. I searched the car, found a taser, a meth pipe, and the driver was on probation. So they went to jail for that. Actually, this last Friday, we got a call of a suspicious vehicle over at the Safeway about 10:30 at night. They got over there, and they found three people inside the car. They were on probation. They searched the car and found a ton of stolen property. So what they had done was they had gone over to Brentwood and the streets of Brentwood, and they just ransacked a bunch of stores. They had all stolen property in the car. So they were actually taken into custody, and Brentwood PD came and took this close for us. So that was actually a pretty good stop. And then lastly, we had a pursuit on Saturday on Bixler, where it was a vehicle with no license plates, and the driver was wearing a ski mask, which is a okay, maybe we just stopped the car.
What could you
do? Right?
Yeah. The car took off. They ultimately had to terminate the chase because he was doing like 120 miles per hour down Marsh Street, so they had to terminate it. We have not caught that suspect at this point. That's all I have for the month of July. Again, it seems like a lot, but actually, if you look at the crime stats, it's actually pretty low.
Any questions, comments from the board?
I just had two questions real quick. Yeah. I noticed a lot of 911 hangups. Is that normal?
Yes, we go to those all day long. Yeah.
Just for whatever reason?
People, a lot of times it's cell phones where they actually black dial and it calls us. Mm. Yeah, that's typically what they are.
Well, that was my easy question. My hard question was, so I love these reports. They're fantastic. Do you get reports from, I don't know, the district attorney or whomever say, here's disposition of all the things you've done, just kind of circle and...
Yeah, I don't get those. I think our investigations can get those. If you want those, I can look.
No, I know, but I just, for your own, you know, edification, though, how much of your work gets immediately?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes I don't want to know. Because it can be very discouraging at times. But our job is to go out and catch the bad guys. Whatever happens after that, happens after that. So.
Anything else from anybody?
No, thanks for all your hard work.
Thanks again for your great job. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, so moving on to, is Donnie Thomas here or online? CHP? No? Okay. And I don't think we have anybody from Contra Costa Fire either. In fact, we need to develop that relationship and find out who we can get now that it's all there. I'll do that.
The answer is most of these guys get released.
Yeah, so true.
Did Steve leave? Okay, moving on then, sorry guys, to our popular section, section F, which is action items. And the first one we have tonight is with regards to water, wastewater. I would invite Gregory Harris, our town engineer, to please come and give a brief report.
Gregory Harris, Herbie Engineering, Town Engineer for County Survey. So we've been working on this problem for a while with the wastewater committee, and that has to do with the pump station W. That is a backup pump station that pumps raw sewage, and it backs up the influent pump station that also pumps raw sewage at Plant 1 in Discovery Bay. That was the original pump station, the very first pump station built in Discovery Bay. And that pump station was supposed to have some rehab and repair items done to it as part of the denitrification project that's currently underway in the district. And when that work started, it was found that the station was so corroded that all the structural steel had disappeared. And the structural engineer had to condemn the structure. So the scheduled work on that was stopped. And but we desperately needed to bring that pump station online to fix the influent pump station. The purpose of pump station W is to allow repairs and maintenance of the influent pump station. And the influent pump station had become a disrepair because we were trying to fix the pump station W to allow us to fix the influent pump station. that got wrapped into the gentrification project, and we desperately need to bring it online. So to keep the structure from collapsing, we dug a 10-foot hole, took all the dirt off the roof, and took the whole top off, and just had a giant hole in the ground. So that picture is in our report. We have a little report that attaches to this. And so we have to do something with Pump Station W. We can't have a 10-foot hole in the ground at the end of this project. We have to do something. So with the wastewater staff and the wastewater committee, we have been working with options. And we produced a memo that describes the options that I can come forth with that. In our last wastewater committee meeting, they asked for some revisions to that report. They asked for some verifications from the attorney as to some of our courses of action. And they asked for some revised cost estimates based on vendor quotes and other items. And basically, there was four options that came forth in that report. Two of those options entail it going forward for the project as a change order to the Anderson Pacific under the de-identification project. And two of those options include going out as just a completely separate project, do something different, go out to public bid, that kind of thing. There's a cost savings to proceeding with Anderson as a change order. And Wastewater Committee asked us to work with Andy to make sure that that was going to be okay. And Andy is okay proceeding with that because that work was originally included in the project, at least a portion of that work was included in the project, so it was part of the original project to be worked on Pump Station W. It's also a less cost option for the district to go forward with that option. So he's okay with that. The other thing we did is we went and got quotes from several elements that are critical to that project, and that includes from Anderson themselves. We got quotes on this repair of the structure from them to match up against our engineering quotes. We got quotes for a crane truck that is needed to do maintenance on pump station, vehicle pump station. And we got quotes on a screen that goes into vehicle pump station. So what's important is we've talked about Pump Station W and the inflow pump station, but the two work together. They're 10 feet apart. They work together. One does maintenance for the other one. And as part of this rehab, the wastewater staff and Veolia sort of reviewed what other things should be fixed over here while we're fixing Pump Station W. And as part of that review, it was identified it would really improve things to add a screen to the inflow pump station. And they're not able to properly pull all the pumps. In fact, one pump is still not in the inflow pump station because they don't have a crane big enough to put it in. So there was original discussion to do a permanent mount crane at that location. But the wastewater staff and the wastewater committee came back and said, why don't we go with a portable crane, make it more useful for the district instead of just a crane that's in the ground at one location, you don't need it in one location. And that's where the crane truck came out in this proposal. So there were four options. Option one was only repair Pump Station W. That's it. Just put your blinders on, do the change order, repair Pump Station W, move on. Option two was repair Pump Station W, but go ahead and get the boom truck and put a screen in on the inflow pump station. That is the recommended option for this. And then option three and four were basically the same thing, but just do them as separate projects. Don't do them now, wait, and you know, do them some point down the future. So there's savings to proceed now and that there's less overhead to do it. But also, we have existing pumps now that if you wait a year or 2 years, those pumps aren't gonna be good, you're gonna be replacing that equipment. So based upon that, we're recommending proceeding with option two. That includes a specific set of authorizations there for the board. And what's important about that is we've done a lot of due diligence on what things cost and what things there, but a design of the pump station is not done. So we're essentially authorizing a budget to allow us to proceed and engage the contractor and start working with them on a change order. And that's essentially what's going to happen in terms of how this progresses. And with that, I'll ask any questions.
Any clarifying questions from the board? Any public?
Well, I'm sorry, I have one.
Yes, Michael.
So this is probably very rudimentary and simple. Where does the money come from?
I will turn this over to our general manager, Dina. She did bring a plan to both the Finance Committee and the Wastewater Committee today, so move forward, Dina. Go ahead.
Okay. So we actually had $1 million saved in the capital improvement budget for this project. So that money is there. What we're also going to do is utilize our infrastructure revolving fund reserves. And so right now we have $1.9 million in that bank. That is a bank that we put $200,000 every year into, and we've been doing it for the last 10 or 11 years. So we're going to take $1.5 million out of that bank, and the balance then will be left with $1.1 million change in that bank. And so that's how we're going to fund this project.
And the Wastewater Committee and Finance are
Yeah, the plan? We're fine with that. In fact, I'll make the motion to clear it up when the time's right.
Okay.
Yes, we was reviewed by both committees. It's not a can that can be kicked down the road. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist.
No, for sure.
Well, I think the other thing that's important about it, and Gregory alluded to it, it's not just fixing a problem. It's also preparing us for the future. So we're not constantly having to fix stuff. It's going to allow us to move forward in our plans with water and wastewater. And so, you know, we're doing this huge project with the denitrification, the screens and stuff like that are going to help keep that good and not cause problems down the road. So it's for forward thinking in the repairs and everything else that they're recommending on the option too.
And the only thing I'd add is it's proactive adding the bar screen in there too, because that's the biggest problem we have with rags. And we don't have a good system for that in place right now. We're kind of lucky that we have into some real major restrictions from that. So Viola really expressed her opinion pretty strongly on that. And it's just so they can better maintain the system. But yeah, we agree with the process. And I think there was a really good job done by staff and by our consultants to come up with the right solution. And what is that, 45 years old, 40 years old, something like that?
Yeah, it's the original pump station, so it was put in the 70s.
Yeah, so, I mean,
And then finally, I know you're not shy, but is there anything that you didn't include because you were thinking of, you were being frugal in option two, or, like, was there something that you were on the fence about?
No, I think with option two, that's pretty much what everyone thinks is what's reasonable there at the pump station.
I think the boom truck is a good thing, too, because it allows us to do maintenance on other pumps,
where
if it was stationary, you can't do that. So, again, forward thinking in how we're approaching these repairs.
Okay. Anybody else? Clarify questions? Any public comment on this issue? Hearing none, I will bring it back to the board. And if I might, since we discussed this, I would like to make the motion that we approve the staff report recommended actions, taking into note that it is a budget and not a hard number, and that if there's any substantial cost overrun that exceeds our contingency fund, then the general manager will bring back, but that we move forward with the four recommended items that are under recommended action.
I second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It was unanimous for the record. Okay, thank you for that. And now we'll move on to item F2, which is, this is good, discussion and possible action to approve a contract with an architecture engineering firm. That's to show you that your ad hoc committee is moving forward, folks. Dina, are you going to do this?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
so the ad hoc building committee conducted interviews of potential architecture and engineering firms to conduct the needs assessment for the new office building. The committee convened after the interviews and selected the top three firms to provide the committee with the proposals. The committee reviewed the proposals comprehensively and chose to move forward with Architecture and Engineering Transformed, or ATIPIC, as they call it themselves in short, to conduct the needs assessment, consulting, and provide architectural concept designs for the construction of the Town of Discovery Bay District Office Building. The submitted proposal was the most comprehensive and detailed of the three proposals received. The district The District Office Planning Ad Hoc Committee recommends approving the proposals of ATIPIC and authorizing the general manager to enter into an agreement not to exceed $32,388 plus 15%
contingency. Thank you, Gina. Any? Just one addition to that. I might have mentioned this before, but I want to let the board know that we brought Mike Urake in on this, and he helped us review in depth. Because there wasn't even apples to apples with some of these things, and he's gonna. I did mention this. I think at the last meeting, he's gonna also be a part of the project as a supervisor or as a project manager. So any clarifying questions other than that? Yes.
I have one. I certainly understand the requirement, the need for this for the office buildings, but have we looked at other options, such as renting space, like across the street, the shopping center, or putting in manufactured office space?
So in the past, a long time ago, we did look at renting some office space across the way over at the Hoffman Shopping Center. There is a cost associated with that because the design of those office buildings were not suitable for us to conduct business in. So if we did something like that, board can choose to do that, there would be a cost for us to modify and possibly need two office spaces next to each other to be able to accomplish this. If we do that and someday the rent gets too high and we don't want to be there, then we're going to be starting this process over again, and of course that can be quite costly. As for portables, we're in a portable now. We did not look at any other portable.
Is that a possible thing that will come out of the report too, and we do the needs assessment, as if a not necessarily building your own space would be one of the options out of the needs? Or is that not in scope? Is that not in scope for the needs assessment that we're talking about? Okay.
Any other clarifying questions? Is there any public comment? Yes, sir.
There's a reason why most people want to own their own homes. It's paying rent is throwing your money away. So don't rent. Rent always goes up. You end up with zero equity in it. And as my former district's general counsel once said, the district is going to be here a long time. The sewer pipes are going to be in the ground a long time. So you need a real office building. Portables are garbage. I haven't been to your offices yet, but the fact that you're looking at building a building to replace them kind of reinforces the fact that portables are garbage. So I support going out and raising a real building.
Chair.
Thank you, sir. Any other?
Just real quick, as a clarification, if I remember correctly, the financing of a new building was already implemented in the previous rate study that was performed.
Yeah.
So the finances are done, please.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board for a vote. Is there a motion to proceed?
I make a motion to approve staff recommendation to move forward with AET.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
I guess I'm
a foregone conclusion because Assistant General Manager Davies is already at the podium, sir. It's all on you. I'm just kidding, man. I haven't seen you in a few days, you know.
So, Mike Davies, Interim Assistant General Manager. And before you, to introduce to you an item, to approve a car show event at Cornell Park. This is not new. We visited this and considered this last year, and nothing has really changed in what we presented last year. The general manager and the assistant general manager have walked the park with Jim Madison, who is going to be sponsoring this event through his 501c3, the Community Foundation. And we believe that this will be an event that will promote community involvement, and it's going to have very little impact actually on the park itself. There will be alcohol sales, but there are conditions of approval that there needs to be a license on that. There will be separate parking from the ones that are actually participants and those that are visitors to the event. So we think it's going to be very well organized. Furthermore, the Community Foundation has a history of providing adequate security and running good events. They do several here in town. Cars and Coffee, which I participated in, is a big success, and that's been running for several years. And they really have this down to a science. Furthermore, they engage in this event over at the Knights in School on Bixler Road, and it was a great event, well attended, and everything was under control. So as you can see in the staff report, there are numerous staff conditions of approval. Your approval of allowing this car show to take place would be in recognition and subject to those conditions of approval. And I'm here to answer questions. The only thing different from last year is we didn't have a special event fee. And so now we do have a special event fee. And the costs that are involved in there are actual costs. So we anticipate that there'll be 2 hours, approximately two before or two after the event for staff involvement, but we'll track the time. And then a dumpster fee, because there'll be a lot of stuff put in our dumpster, we'll have to do a call out on that. And the last time we checked on that, that was $400. And then a refundable damage deposit of $1,500, we think is reasonable. Here to answer questions.
Any questions for the board?
No, all good.
Okay. The applicant is here, if you would like to ask questions of the applicant.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that guy. I have a question for you, Mike. You did review this with Bill, and Bill doesn't have any problems with landscaping or anything like that.
Yeah, not only did we visit with Bill originally, I visited with him again to ensure that, you know, is this about the right amount of time, pre and post event, because there's things that need to be done, everything needs to be mowed.
Make sure water's turned off, there's no watering day up.
Right, and then we need to identify where all the sprinklers are, we need to flag them, which means you got to run them separately, see which ones are working and already not working, so that we don't put something that's not working on them, et cetera. So
gotcha. All right, just want to make sure our landscape crew is on board. I know that I did talk to the Park and Rec Committee, and they're okay with it, correct, Brian? Ashley?
Absolutely.
Okay, any public comment? Yes, ma'am.
Just the restrooms. I was just going to ask about the restrooms.
So, on a recent visit to the park, the restrooms were still not someplace I would use. So, would there be porta potties or something else for this event?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the conditions of approval here is that actually the bathrooms will not be open for the event, and they are providing porta potties for the event.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Nobody online? Then I would. Shut up, Aaron. I would. I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion that we approve car show event to be held in Cornell Park on September 24th, 2022.
And is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right, very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
The motion included all the conditions.
As staff recommendation with the conditions of approval that are on the staff report. I know Mike and Jim have gone through together.
Right, just for the record.
Right. Okay, thank you for that, Mike. Thank you for providing stuff for the community again there, Mr. Madison. We appreciate that. And now I'm going to go to manager's reports. Do you have anything? Go ahead, Monica. Do you have something, Mike?
We have two manager reports tonight, so interim
Assistant General Manager Davies.
He didn't stand up, so.
Is going to give you an update on the agenda language.
So, if you notice on tonight's board meeting agenda, the introductory language on attending the meeting has been changed from what you have been used to. Andy can fill in any technical legal questions, but the way our meetings have been set up has been according to an allowance through a governor's order that board members can attend and the public can attend the meetings telephonically. It actually addresses board members, I believe, telephonically, without having to do what the Brown Act requirements were in the past, where if you wanted to remote distance, it would have to be a location with a door open to the public, posted with the agenda at that location as well. So, as you well know, I think even today we had an attendance at a committee meeting where you were able to call in on the car, and you, that would have never taken place in the past. Well, the problem with that is that if for some reason the telephonic or the video equipment goes down so that the public cannot attend in person, the meeting must end. Because the so something like a public hearing or something like that could really pose a problem if the equipment didn't work, we'd have to end the meeting, and we would have a public hearing that didn't take place, and we would have to go through technically, you know, all the requirements of notice and in the paper and all that stuff. It would be a heck of an impact. So what you see is language on it that says, hey, we will allow the public to attend the board meeting and telephonically if available. And so that means that the board members that in those situations, it'll only be the board members in attendance. You cannot call in and utilize that ability to call in remotely unless you revert back to the old Brown Act way of doing it by posting at a location. So what we're going to ask for is that if you know that you're going to be away from a board meeting and you're not going to be, and you want to do it remotely, let us know before the Friday that the agenda goes out so we can change the wording to take the risk and say, you know, the old language that the public can attend telephonically. Anything to add to that, Council?
No, that's pretty in-depth. It's a matter of the law. You still maintain compliance with AB 361, which is the law that Mike is talking about. It's just the, and that's the resolution that you adopt each meeting that remakes the findings in the event that there is a surge or there's some sort of reason that the board feels that they're not able to meet in person. But the going to this language here would require, as Mike said, a little heads up notice so that we can get that, the AB 361 notification language on to our agenda.
Can I ask a question? So, in the past, prior to COVID, we could call in as board members and participate in the meeting without any special language in the agenda.
That's correct.
So why do we have to let you know ahead of time whether or not we're going to be on the phone? Why is that? Why is it any different than it used to be pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, the requirement was that we had to notice the location that you would be at. So if you were going to be, you know, out on leave or, you know, deployed, and you have your location, we put that location there. We would have to have a quorum of our board, at least within the jurisdiction of the town of Discovery Bay.
And you have to allow the public to attend wherever you're at remotely.
That's correct.
Post the agenda there.
So under AB 361, what was removed was the ability of the public to come in to wherever we were going to deploy. And we don't have to notify the public of where you're going to be. So those are the changes.
Anyway, okay, I'll take your guys' word for it. You guys know more about it. I'm just thinking about a specific meeting that I remember. I was deployed to the fires up in Humboldt County, and I participated in the meeting, and I did not invite anybody to my little dumpy motel room in Garberville because I was on the phone in the meeting.
We had the agenda posted here for that meeting with your location.
Oh, really?
And then
okay.
There was probably direction given to provide
see what I didn't know.
Not many people wanted to attend the fire.
Well, you know,
so we only need to know basically.
It was trimming season, so you could make a little extra money up there.
Do it before Friday, before, so we can change the language on the agenda.
Very good. Thank you, Mike.
Right. Thank you.
And Monica.
Monica's
fun report. This is called. This is Monica's fun report time.
I was so excited. I wanted to cut in front of my. Just wanted to give a pool update.
Yeah.
So swim lessons that we had scheduled for the summer had ended in July, and they were so popular. And we still have been fortunate that we were able to hire, as there you see the kids leaving, a few more lifeguards and swim instructors. So we decided to extend swim lessons, and like we have our session going on right now, filled up like lickety-split. So we're doing swim now. What month? This is August, for all of August. And then we're doing our first ever, we're doing a stroke clinic. There's some condition, you have to have been on a swim team. Like, it's really a skill that they're learning. It's not just to kind of come and have fun in the water. So we're offering the stroke clinic, which is filling up quickly. So that's very exciting. I told you about Cook and Float, I think, last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting some requests that was, you know, everybody loved it. Not sure if we'll be able to do that again this year. The lifeguards are slowly going back to college and high school started, so we're trimming that down. Water aerobics is still very popular, and we've extended that to 5 days a week now instead of four, so that group is so happy. What else can I tell you? Lap swimming has started up again, so that is 5 days a week, from 10 to 2.
We have our first pickleball court rental.
We do, yes. We have a private a family that rented it for their own private family to come and play this Saturday, so they rented three of the courts. So we've posted it, as we do with any court rental, notified the kind of the key players, so everybody's on board. But the pool is just, and we have some things in the future that we're planning as well, so long as we can keep. I don't want to give too much away yet, but you know, without us not, I can't always use this phrase, but putting this together after so long and not having a crystal ball and not knowing, coming out of everything and hiring, I'm so proud of everyone, of Cindy Coates, who's our pool supervisor. She just keeps coming with, what if we do this? What if we do this? And then I'll run it by you, yes. The interest is there, let's keep doing it. And everything is going great.
Yeah, it's great.
You know,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I just love seeing all these announcements just come out one after another. It's wonderful. Yeah. And
yeah, we're starting a yoga, getting away from aquatics. If I can just do a minute of fall recreation.
Mm-hmm.
We have an instructor, so we're bringing yoga in the next guide. So that will be exciting. Something new. Let's keep growing and build some more interest. The swimming, though, like, these parents want swim lessons to go constantly. So we're going to just keep doing what we can.
That's great.
Has everyone been pretty positive on our rates, or have you had any feedback?
Been positive on what?
The rate fees.
No, not a single. I've never seen any of them.
Not trying to jinx it.
Way to go, Brian.
Yeah, no. It's been, everything has been very good.
That's awesome.
Oh, and this is very exciting. So typically in years past, the pool season, once high school started Monday this week, and the middle school and elementary went back Thursday last week, so the pools closed during the week. But Wednesday is early release, so we're like, you know what, we still have lifeguards around, so we have the pool open for public rec swim on Wednesdays from 3 to 6, so that gives them time to get home, and also Fridays. Since it's Friday and there's no school on, you know, we're doing 3 to 6 on Fridays, and still our regular weekend 12 to 6.
That's wonderful.
We'll do that as long as we have the lifeguards.
Awesome.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, all good.
Any questions? I have a comment.
Nice.
I have broke this. Stay there, Monica.
Oh.
I wanted to get a certificate to Tony Adams, specifically of Adams Pools, for all they did for us in putting in the certificate of appreciation to the town. Did I ever mention that to anybody? Man, I tried to. Because Tony was a longtime resident of Discovery Bay. He recently moved to Pleasanton, but he was, as I think Mike and Monica both will testify, that he did a great job. He kept to his pricing. He let us start and stop and change. And I would just like to give him, because he's a past resident, a certificate of appreciation to Tony Adams and Adams Pools. If you can make one of those up, and then I'll call Tony and invite him to a meeting. If he can't be here, that's fine. I'll invite a representative, or we'll mail it to him.
Yeah, I'd like to add, Kev, they were a pleasure to work with. And Mark is who I worked with, primarily their kind of rep, pleasure. They were very easy.
I think they really gave us a lot of latitude in how we got that project completed. So,
shout out to NAS as well, just if we're talking pool, National Aquatics. They did our pump room and all the new equipment. They have literally been at my beck and call.
I just, the reason I call out Tony specifically is because he was a long time resident of Discovery Bay, and I think that had to do with part of why he wanted to be part of the project when he wanted to bid it, was because, hey, it's his hometown. He's lived here for like 25 years.
Yeah.
So that's enough. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it. Dina, I think you're up.
Yes. So we're having technical issues with our Orion readers, which is the reader that attaches to the meter. And the reason why we're having these technical issues is because there is some work and upgrades to the cellular towers in town. and so it's causing the readers not to be able to read the meter reads and transmit them into our billing system. So if we started out with 2,000 issues, not getting those reads, it's dwindled down quite a bit from that, less than half. And so there will be a couple of individuals that don't get bills this month. It does not affect their meter or the read or the amount of water going in that. So we're putting notices on the bills. I'll put a notice on social media as well, and then the announcement here. So hopefully we'll get that fixed and mitigated, and they'll just get their bill, a double bill, in the next month.
If I may ask a question, are the people that are not getting reads, are they getting notified that that's what's going to happen, so they're not just surprised with no bill this month and twice as much next month, or is it just... I'm assuming it doesn't print if there's no bill? Okay.
Yep, it won't print if there's no bill. Yeah, so, and if there are any issues with somebody being able to pay that amount, then we'll work with them and we will make that happen. So, absolutely. Their 3G cellular is now upgraded to 4G, and there's kind of a little bit of an issue with the reader. So, we do have multiple readers in stock, the new ones that we ordered pre-COVID. And so, we are looking to hire two water technicians, and that's going to be their project right off the bat, is get the meters. Okay. My second item is the AGM job posting closed on July 22nd. And so we have three applicants. We're going to interview all three applicants at a future date. So we're setting up those dates.
Excellent. That's good news. Yeah.
Great. I was going to say something, but I totally lost my train of thought on someone. Director's reports, please. Standing committee reports. Does somebody from internal operations want to say something?
There's really nothing too much to report out of that. We got some clarification on MAC duties and board responsibilities, and discussed some of the land around the sign at Willow Lake and Discovery Boulevard.
Okay. Finance committee.
Can I make just a quick correction on the agenda? I'm not part of the finance. So it should list Brian Couteau and...
I was going to ask you to do the report.
I asked some really good questions.
That was great. I stood out loud for like 20 minutes.
I had a
like
list of questions
dog.
I was going to ask. I was ready.
Brian, do you want to say, talk about the finance committee meeting?
Yeah, we had a very interesting meeting because we went over some pretty detailed stuff. One being obviously what we discussed earlier, which is lift station W and how we're going to finance that to fix the repairs. We also talked about, we have a couple of bonds that are maturing, and there's a potential of taking those two bonds and combining those into a private loan from a commercial institution. So beyond that, Kevin, unless you want to add to that.
No. And this stuff will be coming to you guys August 17th, I think. And some good news there. Water, wastewater?
A lot of similar stuff as finance. We had a presentation on some various ways to fund some of the projects between water and wastewater. And then we talked about Lift Station W, I always confuse it, which we've already brought to the board. So it was just confirming and looking at what those options were with hard numbers on it.
That's it. And any other reportable items by any of the directors?
I would, if possible, I'd like to vote.
Yeah,
I want. Go ahead. So at our previous meeting, there was some stuff brought in public comment regarding Airbnbs. We had a code enforcement meeting. There was a letter sent to code enforcement and Supervisor Burgess's office recording the Airbnbs. I think in the code enforcement meeting, it was very, very positive, as mentioned in Supervisor Burgess's report. They're bringing some more code enforcement people on. But I think the bigger thing on it was there was action that was already being taken place. So code enforcement has already started to send out letters to those homes that have not pulled permits. We're going to work with them on doing that. But I think a big takeaway is they are willing and able to help, but they don't work weekends. And so if there are any issues that are occurring with the homeowners, whether it's a lot of people, loud, safety issues, the homeowners need to contact the non-emergency number of the Sheriff's Department, and then the Sheriff's Department and code enforcement are working together. There's things in place in the Airbnb secondary rentals that are already in place, but if we're not doing that, if they're not calling and they're not coming together on it, they can enforce those. So, for example, if they have, and I don't know the exact number, so don't quote me, but so many reports on, you know, public nuisance or whatever, then code enforcement has the ability to go to the Airbnb and to the homeowners and say, you're cut off for a year. So it's important that everybody works together on these. I think if we all work together, and code enforcement was very accommodating in understanding what we needed. They had taken the letter. They're working on, you know, increasing those fines. So it was a very positive thing. It's going to be an ongoing conversation. And, you know, we're not the only ones experiencing it. Knightson's experiencing the same thing, but with, like, huge parties in empty lots, and so it is definitely something that's being addressed, and I think it's encouraging to hear that they're bringing more people on, so we'll get some more support from that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. I think that's great that they have that they can cancel or at least temporarily suspend a license, I guess.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it's important that it's reported both ways. Like I said, code enforcement doesn't work on the weekends, and if there's no record of it, they can't.
Carolyn, did you want to say anything about transplant, or
it's
just more
of the usual? No, mainly administrative. They did talk about some updates to Highway 4, except for in front of Discovery Bay.
All right, any future agenda items? Hearing none, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.